Nehemiah, chapter, greatest book. Nehemiah is the greatest book ever written on leadership, ever, anywhere. So whatever books you've read on leadership, put them away, put them in the back closet, and open the book of Nehemiah. What a marvelous book it is. Great day to be in the house of the Lord, Jerry said. Sweet, isn't it? Overcoming the giants in your life. Discouragement. Anybody ever been discouraged? Anybody? Somebody? I guess that I was discouraged this week. And I get to talk in pastor speak right now, right? On Wednesday night, we were sitting there getting ready for the Bible study, and Rick said to me, "So, how was your week this week?" And I said, "My week sucks." Pastor's allowed to say that? Well, it doesn't matter. Sometimes our weeks aren't what we want them to be. Sometimes our weeks just go a little crazy. And sometimes we get discouraged. And every time that I'm trying to figure out words, I look at the dictionary. Here's what the definition of discouragement is. The act of disheartening. Or depriving of courage. The art of depressing confidence. Depriving of courage. To discourage is to extinguish the courage of, to depress the spirit, to deter from anything. And a discourager is one who dissuades from an undertaking. So the truth is that some of us are discouragers from time to time, aren't we? Here is what I want to do, and somebody says, "You can't do that. You can't do that." You ever heard that? This is what I think I'm going to do. This is what I think God wants me to do. And someone says to you, "You can't do that." We can discourage other people. We can discourage people too in positive ways. Well, they're not so positive. They might be passive aggressive. For example, "You really did a good job. How did this person do?" And it's a comparison, isn't it? Sometimes we do that with our kids. "You did a good job, but how did this person over here do?" Dishearten is to take away one's heart. When you take away one's heart, one's focus, that is taking away the very essence of who they are. I want to tell you a story about a man who was called the unluckiest man in the world, or in New York City. His name was Lawrence Hanratty. This is from David Jeremiah's book, Slaying the Dragons in Your Life. Lawrence Hanratty was nearly electrocuted to death in a construction accident. Spent weeks in a coma. He had lawyers fighting for his liability claim. One of his lawyers was disbarred, and two of his lawyers died. His wife ran off with her lawyer. He lost his car in a terrible car accident. After police left the scene, he was robbed. Insurance company fought to take away his workers' compensation benefits. His landlord tried to evict him. It gets better. He suffered from depression and agoraphobia, which is the fear of places and situations that might cause panic. He required a canister of oxygen wherever he went for breathing. He took 42 pills a day for his heart and liver ailments. He summed up his life with these words: "There's always hope. There's always hope." Can you imagine being him going through all these things, and the words that he used to sum up his life was, "There's always hope"? I wonder how we would do in that situation. I wonder at what point in that situation would we say, "Enough. I just give up. I'm going to throw in the towel. I quit." There's always hope. Is that how we see life? Do we really think that there's always hope? I heard the thing coming this morning. I always listen to The River coming to church on Sunday mornings. And this morning they were talking about a woman who had cervical cancer. And And she went to see her doctor, and she was a little bit discouraged, and the doctor said this, told her about hope. And he said, hold on, pain ends. Hope. Hold on, pain ends. Y'all believe that? To lose heart. To grow weary. Faint. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Listen, dads up here, look at me. You ever provoked your children? Real temptation. And I think many of us have done that. And as we do that, what's the scripture say? They become discouraged. I can remember when I was a kid, I never did anything good enough for my dad. Not one thing ever. Straight A's, play football, basketball, baseball. I never did one thing to please him. How do you think that made me feel? Discouraged. Because no matter how hard you worked, no matter how did, it was never good enough. You know, that affects you for the rest of your life, doesn't it? 2 Corinthians 4:1 says this, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, this is Paul writing, we do not lose heart. You ever thought about that in your own life? Do what God's called you to do. Don't lose heart. He's there. He called you. He will be with you. Luke 18:1. This is Jesus. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. You know, we're counseled by the scripture to not be discouraged, not lose heart, and not to be a discourager of others. It's a shame that the church is often a vehicle for discouragement. It's a shame that some people in the church, not everyone, some become discouragers. That's not what I think the church wants to do. I don't think we ought to follow that guy. I don't think we ought to do this. I think that I am right. It's when we allow our agendas to take control, isn't it, that we can be a discouragement to others, or we cause them to be discouraged. And I can tell you this, that one of the reasons you and I are in this room today help each other overcome discouragement. We ought to be here for each other, shouldn't we? Regardless of what's going on in our lives and the lives of others, we need to be here for other people. I've said before, and I'll say it again, that somewhere within the radius of where you are, let's say a 6-foot radius of where you are, someone needs encouraged. Someone's heart's breaking. Someone's life is falling apart, and we need to make sure we pay attention. Once in a while, maybe we ought to pray and say, God, show me someone today who's discouraged. Show me someone today that I can help. Show me someone today that I can come alongside and prop them up. Hebrews 10:25 says, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Just curious, when we come to this place, do we realize our job is not to visit? Our job is really not to fellowship. One of our primary purposes for being here, outside of worshiping God, is to encourage each other. You know, some people have bad weeks, don't they? Bad months. And what we need to do as fellow believers and brothers and sisters in the Lord is come alongside them and sometimes prop them up, because sometimes we're the only person they have. James chapter 3. And when we become discouragers, it's because of our mouths. Set a guard, O Lord, over my lips. Keep watch over the door of my mouth. James chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, a a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. We cannot possibly say and mean that we love God when we denigrate others. We can't say that we follow God when we are instruments of discouragement for other people. It is impossible. It's a contradiction in terms. It's not an oxymoron. It's just a flat-out contradiction. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken or spoken at the right time is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Your words matter. My words matter. Our words matter. And it's how we use our words that makes all the difference in the world. The question then becomes for us, how are we using our words? We get discouraged, sometimes because of situations we find ourselves in, sometimes because of the words we hear from others. But discouragement is a fact of life, and we can overcome it. We can slay the dragon. Discouragement. Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 4. Stand with me as I read the scripture. Nehemiah 4, verse 1. Now when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that?" Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "Yes, what they are building, if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their heads and give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders." So we built the wall. And all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. And we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. In Judah, it was said, "The strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There is too much rubble. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall. And our enemies said, they will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work." At that time, the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, "You must return to us." So in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall and open places, I stationed the people by their clans with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." Father, I thank you for the instruction that we find here. I thank you that even though discouragement comes, we can overcome it. I thank you that you are a God, our God, who loves us and cares for us, who draws us near to himself so that there is no obstacle that is too great for us. Father, we thank you and praise you today. We give you glory because there is no other. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. We need to recognize when we're discouraged. Anybody ever heard of Vince Lombardi? Vince Lombardi, Hall of Fame football coach. Vince Lombardi said, "Fatigue makes cowards of us all." One of the things that we need to recognize in discouragement is fatigue. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10 said, "The strength of those who bear the burdens is failing." Imagine the fatigue of those who were charged with building the wall. They get halfway through the project and they begin to lose steam. Yeah, that ever happened to you? You have this thing out there, you have a goal that you want to accomplish, and you get halfway through it, and it really doesn't look like you've made any progress at all. So you begin to get discouraged. Can I do? Will I do? Can I finish? Do I have the strength? Do I have the resources to get this done? And the people began to lose hope. They begin to lose their focus. They hear the words of their enemies and they are discouraged. You know, guys, in the church, we need to keep focused. We need to realize that the enemy is going to speak. We're going to hear sometimes, but we need to disregard the words of the enemy and hear the words of our Lord. When I was a kid, regardless of how I look now, when I was a kid, I was pretty active, pretty athletic. And our coaches were slave drivers. It's an incredible thing. Back then, you'd practice twice a day in August, getting ready for the season, and nobody would allow you to drink water. You remember that, Mark? And you'd get tired. And I can remember days that I'd lose 12 or 13 pounds during each practice. And it was all water loss. But you kept pushing through. You did whatever it took to finish. Our coaches had a motto that they're saying was, "Nobody beats us in the fourth quarter. We are always going to be in better condition than anybody else." Because when you get tired, you begin to be afraid. When you get tired, you begin to lose focus of your goal. When you get tired, it's easy to give in to the taunts of the other people. We need to realize that we need to be in shape. Do you know how a Christian gets in shape? Do you know? It's pretty simple. Open the book. Read the book. Study the book. Memorize the book. Meditate on the book. Make it a part of your life so that when discouragement comes, you fight through it. You don't get tired. You keep on keeping on. I love that phrase. I don't even know the first time I ever heard it. You keep on keeping on. You don't finish until the job is finished. Fatigue. It's incredible, just in a couple verses here, or just in one verse, all the stuff that happens. Verse 10, there is too much rubble. Ever get to the point in your life where you were frustrated? Not only does fatigue cause us to be discouraged, so does frustration. You ever wondered in your life if you really make a difference? Have you ever wondered if your life is significant at all? Have you ever thought, my life really doesn't matter? What is it? It's a Wonderful Life. You all remember that Christmas story, It's a Wonderful Life? When Jimmy Stewart gets to the point where he doesn't think his life has made a difference at all, and he becomes discouraged. And he goes to the bridge with the intent of jumping off the bridge and ending his life. And Clarence, the angel, comes up and lets him know what his life would have been like, what life in general would have been like without him. I want you to take a look around. What would life around you be if you if you didn't exist? What would life in general be? Not around you, that, but what would life in general be if you did not exist? You influence people. And most of the time we influence people for the positive. And people need us in their lives if we're going to help them overcome discouragement. Your life does matter. Your life, Wally, matters to Belinda, to your kids. Belinda's gone. Your life matters to your husbands, your wives, to your children. Your life matters to those who work around you, to those who are in your community. Your life matters. Realize that. God has placed you where you are for a purpose. And that purpose could be, and probably is, to help people overcome discouragement. When we get frustrated, we begin to turn inward. We were talking about animals today in Sunday school. That's kind of a silly thing. But what animal would you be when you face conflict? We had Dobermans. We had pit bulls. We had German shepherds. We had rabbits. Rabbits run away. We even had a turtle. A turtle who pulls his head in when things happen. Kind of ignores them. Sometimes that's what happens with us when we're frustrated. We get frustrated by life and begin to turn inward. We begin to focus on what we haven't done instead of seeing the things we've done that make a difference. When I turned 30, that was just kind of a couple years ago. At least it seems like a couple years ago. Time just starts to fly. By the way, is this June already? When I turned 30, I was discouraged because I looked back, I looked into my life and I saw things that I had not yet accomplished. Things that I wanted to have accomplished by the time I was 30. And that frustration almost made me do things that I didn't want to do. And I'll leave it at that. But you know, I looked around and I had my wife who loved me. I had two kids who loved me and depended upon me. That gave me courage. That let me know that I was important. That let me know that I could overcome that discouragement because of how God used my wife and my kids. Sometimes we get frustrated by all the criticism we hear. That ever affected you? Anyone ever here in here ever been criticized? If you haven't, if you've never been criticized, raise your hand. Oh, I see all of you out there. We get frustrated with criticism and we think, what's the use? Why am I even doing this? Why should I keep on doing it? What is the use? And instead of wondering what is the use, we need to regain our focus. We need to keep on keeping on. We need to persevere. Years and years ago, probably I've been a Christian since 1972. 1973, I met Diane and started going to church with her. There was a pastor we had, his name was Melvin Welch. He's a marvelous man. And he had all these isms and witticisms, I guess. And he said that perseverance could be described as bulldoggish hang-onativeness. I know that's not correct grammar, correct English, Kyle. But bulldoggish hang-onativeness. It is said that when a bulldog grasps onto something, you have to almost break its jaws to get it to release. We need to learn to persevere. We need to learn to keep on keeping on. Fatigue will cause us to be discouraged. Frustration will cause us to be discouraged. And failure can cause us to be discouraged. We're not able to build the wall, the people said. We can't do it. They were done. They were discouraged. They had lost all hope of ever accomplishing their task. Every one of us has experienced failure. It's how we handle failure that makes the difference. We can give up, or we can persevere. Thomas Edison. Anybody ever heard of Thomas Edison? What's above you, right up there on the ceiling? Light bulbs, right? Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. His teacher said to him that he was too stupid to learn anything. He was fired from a job because he was non-productive. He made 1,000 unsuccessful attempts at inventing the light bulb. You hear me? 1,000 unsuccessful attempts. At what point would I have given up? At what point would you have given up? When a reporter asked him, how did it feel to fail 1,000 times? Edison replied, I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps. Attitude, isn't it? How did Edison handle what appeared to be failure? He kept on keeping on. He didn't let anything deter him. I had a brother that was basically called too stupid to move on. When he went to school for second grade, the first day of class, they told him he had failed the year before. I don't know about you, but doesn't it make sense that if you're going to be held back, you tell somebody at the end of that year, at the end of his first grade year? How devastating do you think that was to my brother? My brother began to stutter. My brother began to have some other issues, and to this day, he has never recovered. Now, part of that is on him. We need to keep on keeping on. Fear will keep us from fear is a cause of discouragement. Look at verse 11 in chapter 4. And our enemy said, they will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work. You ever been threatened? Ever been threatened? Physically, emotionally, spiritually? They said, we're coming. You won't know when. You don't know where. You don't know how. But we're coming. Sounds like being in the military, doesn't it? We're coming. People building the wall were being taunted. Won't. They were being threatened. They're being criticized. Because of this, they wanted just to throw in the towel. You ever felt that way? You know, I don't know about you, but I watch boxing every once in a while, and every once in a while, some guy's getting battered. Do you see these things before? And so his corner, to keep him from suffering any worse, they just throw the towel in. That's throwing in the towel means that it's over. There is no hope. And so have we ever gotten to the point in our lives where we've just been tempted to throw in the towel? That we think there's no hope? There's no use going on? Enough is enough. I can't go on. I'm done. There is no hope. You ever gotten to that point in your life? Fatigue, frustration, failure, fear. These are all signs of discouragement. But I'm going to tell you right now how you can overcome discouragement. Because there is a way. There is a way to overcome discouragement. And the first one is to call out to God. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their heads and give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders. Verse 11. And our enemies said, they will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work. They prayed. They prayed. When we find discouragement, we should not make prayer a last option. Prayer should be a first option. When we experience criticism or fear or frustration or failure or fatigue, we need to pray. We need to seek God. We need to focus on Him. Turn to Psalms, because we're going to be in Psalms just for a little bit. Psalm 34 first. Verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will, what? What's the word? Surprise you. Is that right? What the Lord has done. Begin to focus on Him. Begin to praise God. Begin to worship Him. Verse, my soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Cry out to Him. Pray. Ask Him to give you the strength. Begin to worship Him and watch your attitude change. Watch your focus begin to change. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the strength of the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. When you are discouraged, cultivate your relationship with God. Rely on Him and Him alone. It says He will cover you with His pinions. Under His wings you will find refuge. Psalm 121. Prayer should never be a last resort. It should be the first thing that you and I do. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Our focus needs to be on Him, and when we are discouraged, we need to call out to Him in prayer. Is that the first thing we do? Or do we run to the valley of whining and grumbling and criticizing? Something else that you and I need to do is not just call on the Lord, but continue doing what God's called us to do. Continue doing what God has called us to do. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. So we built the wall. All the wall was joined together to half its height. for the people had a mind to work. Trust me, when you are doing God's work, you are going to get discouraged. When you know that you're in the will of God, you are going to get discouraged. I promise you this, and you need to pay attention, Tori and Kiko and everyone else who's involved in Bible school. I want you to know Bible school, I think, in my opinion, is the best thing we do here. And because it's the best thing we do, the enemy is going to get in. And a lot of times that happens as we're decorating. And as we go through the week, somebody starts chipping away at somebody else. And people begin to get discouraged. And there are issues sometimes in relationships. And aren't those things part of what the enemy has? We need to continue to do what God has called us to do with our focus completely on Him. Don't let the stuff deter you. Don't let the stuff get in the way. Realize it's coming. Cry out to God. Continue as He gives you the strength. Let me ask you this. Why are we tempted to quit? You ever gotten to the point in your life where you wanted to quit, just give it up? Why are we tempted to quit? It's the easy way out. Quitting is the easy way out. You don't have to get stronger. You don't have to face up to the problem. Quit. There's that old saying, whether it's true or not, quitters never win, and winners never quit. We keep on going. If we keep on following God, we're going to find strength that we never knew we had. God's going to pull up from within us the reserves that He has there for us. Ones we never knew we had. And we're going to be able to continue on. And we need to concentrate on the big picture. Look at verses 13 and 14. Let me just... Anybody in this room, anybody ever tried to lose weight? I'm just asking. Losing weight can be really tough, can it? But what needs to happen is you need to have this goal out here. You need to have a picture of what you want done. And trust me in this one, sometimes we say, well, I want to lose 50 pounds. Wrong thing. I want to lose 5 pounds. Or I want to lose 5 more pounds. Does that make sense? It's easier to achieve. But listen, whenever you're trying to lose weight, you're going to hit a wall. It's going to happen. And you're going to get discouraged. And you're going to think, what's the use? Why don't I just go back to the pizza and the ice cream? And why don't we go back? I'm just... but we can do what we've purposed to do. Listen, church, we can do what we've purposed to do as we yield to God. We can continue to do the work. We can keep on going if we concentrate on the big picture. Let me give you some. Not very many people in this room know this today. Last week, we had a $16,000 offering. Here? That's more than we, if you look at our monthly total, that's probably more than we needed this month. $16,000. $8,000 was for the budget. $8,000 was for building renovation. Does that not amaze you? I thought we were kind of running out of steam on this building renovation, but guess what? God ramped it up. We are following God. We believe that we know what God wants us to do, and we're not going to get frustrated. We're not going to be afraid. We're not going to get tired. We're going to keep on keeping on. We are going to see the big picture, and we're going to get it done. Something else we need to do is claim God's promises. Verse 14 of Nehemiah, chapter 4. Claim God's promises. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. And fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Don't be afraid. remember the Lord. Isn't that what we need to do? Claim God's promises. During my ordination, my pastor read some verses I have a picture of it up on my wall. It is ingrained in here. And I just want to read it for you today. It's Isaiah chapter 40, beginning of verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord, or for the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those who wait on the Lord. We wait on the Lord in prayer. We wait on the Lord in meditation. We wait on the Lord to speak to us, to move us, to renew us and to refresh us. Mount up with wings like eagles. Be refreshed. Run. Not be weary. Walk and not faint. We need not only to claim God's promises, but we need to carry each other's burdens. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 15. When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction and half held the spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. And each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me, and I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, "The work is great and widely spread, and we are separated on the wall far from one another. In the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us." So we labored at the work, and half of them held the spears from the break of dawn until the stars came out. I also said to the people at that time, "Let every man and his servant pass the night within Jerusalem, that they may be a guard for us by night and may labor by day." So neither I nor my brothers nor my servants nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us took off our clothes. Each kept his weapon at his right hand. And I'm going to sum that all up by saying this. They had each other's back. They had each other's back. Carry each other's burdens. We're going to face discouragement. That's part of life. But we don't have to be defeated. We can overcome the giant of discouragement. It is not the end. It's a new beginning. Discouragement can be a new beginning in how we live our lives. Don't allow discouragement to keep you from doing what God has called you to do. Don't allow discouragement to keep you from moving on with life. Realize that our God is still on the throne and He is still in control. And He is there to help us get through whatever situation we find ourselves in. So the next time you're discouraged, seek somebody out. Let them help you get through it. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Let's pray. Father, thank you.